So I'm Susie Miller, and I run a company called Ella Hub. We've been going for about 5 years, and we focus on e-learning accessibility. Our kind of vision is to make all learning content accessible and inclusive as the default. So we provide training, we've got an online course that we provide. We also do auditing and consultancy. So, and just growing bigger and bigger.
Thanks, Susie. So just to kick us off, what are the conversations that you're having so far at the event? What are the big topics coming up?
So obviously my kind of take on everything is based on accessibility. So we've had a lot of conversations, really interesting conversations with people already, so on the first day. But I think there's a real change in mindset about accessibility. So for the last few years, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the kind of, you know, the risk about not making content accessible and how you've got the legal requirement. And I think a lot of people now are realizing that actually it is really great for the learning content. It actually has a massive impact on improving the experience of learning for everyone. So I think there's a kind of a change in an attitude and the sort of, I think a lot of people will, partly maybe because of the neuro-inclusion agenda, are more aware of a kind of, you know, disabilities that you might not be able to see. And one of the things that I've noticed just arriving here is that there is actually at the exhibition a sensory room, which is really, really exciting that, you know, it is much more on the agenda. And especially for me, always maybe a little bit more at the exhibition, you actually see people talking about accessibility, well, their talks about accessibility. So I think from a grassroots level, people are really seeing the kind of positive impact of making content accessible. And that for me is a real change in mindset that it's just wonderful to see.
Great to hear there are already so many good conversations happening so early in the event. But I think learning tech's a bit of an opportunity to kind of have a moment in the calendar where we look ahead to what's coming, but also take some time to reflect on where we've been in the last year. So to start that process, what are the kind of big changes or the movements that you've seen over the past 12 months?
I suppose I think there is it's been a very gradual process, but I think there has been that a change in understanding now that accessibility isn't a nice to have anymore. It's just it needs to be there as the default. And if it is there as the default, then it's so beneficial, you know, not only for your learners, but also we're still probably there are people ahead of other people. So there's still a little bit of a unique selling point that if accessibility is something that you generally, you know, genuinely understand the complexities of and you are making your product or your learning accessible, you are sometimes way ahead of the competition. So it's that kind of like, there's a buzz about it, as I say, from a positivity of being good for the learning experience, but also from a business point of view, it's something that you simply have to have. If you do have it, then it's great for you to be able to kind of, you know, use that as a great selling point.
Okay, so quite a lot of change going on then. But I guess one question that comes up a lot when we talk about accessibility is, if this isn't a priority in my business or it's not something that we've really focused on before, where should I get started? Obviously, there's a lot to do. There are lots of different approaches that can be taken, different sets of guidelines, different people who require different things. So if I'm just starting, just trying to approach, how do I make my work more accessible? Where should I start?
Yeah, so that's kind of like quite a tricky question. So from a kind of the universal standard really for accessibility is obviously always coming back to those web content accessibility guidelines. So, you know, if you can understand as many of those as you can. So, you know, it's people often kind of focus on just a couple of things. So, you know, the color contrast and the alternative text. So that's a really good place to start. But I think, you know, to get the benefits of accessibility, it is kind of delving a bit deeper and understanding a little bit more about, you know, some of the other things. And also thinking about, we quite often when we talk about accessibility, very much focus on one access need. So we focus quite a lot on vision. So it's being aware that actually there are things that we need to do to make it accessible for people with motor access needs who might not be able to use a mouse, or cognitive access needs that we were talking about. So things like plain language and, you know, maybe not too many things moving around that can't be stopped on your screen, things like that. And also from a hearing point of view, so kind of making things like captions and transcripts and things like that. So it's anything that you do is fantastic. It's that kind of progress over perfection. We're not going to get it 100%, oh yes, we're meeting every single one of these criteria. But the more you can understand, and I think for me, the most brilliant thing about accessibility is that at grassroots level, anyone and everyone can do something to make their content more accessible. So even if your organization maybe doesn't have it as a priority, you know, if you're an instructional designer or a developer, you do have the power to find out as much as you can and to do as much as you can yourself. And that's for me the kind of the shining light really of accessibility.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Susie. If you're listening to this and would like to learn more, do check out the Ella Hub website and of course check out Susie's book, Designing Accessible Learning Content. Do stay tuned for more live recordings from Learning Technologies 2024.